That's the remix.
Oh, what a messed up intro. That was that plague.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, goodness. All right, let's just do that. Oh, that's terrible.
I think the anticipation, too, you was anticipating. That was a rough
like,
cut.
I was like, yeah.
That was
like,
a
what
rough
happened?
Cut.
Damn. We're being dirty on this track.
It's that.
I know. He had sent me something like a while back. He was like, hey, you know, if you want to try this new stuff. And it's just like it's such a pain to go behind the scenes and upload this and do it the right way.
I get it.
So
I get it.
Do it the right way.
Yeah. And not all of us have 3 minutes to spare. I get it. You know, just, the schedule is tight, man.
No, it really isn't. No, you don't understand. It's like I feel like a pariah with technology when I'm trying to upload this thing here. Like I'm like I'm freaking the hell out.
Sorry, where's the L?
Kids come and say something to me like, "Leave me alone." Trying to focus. Anyway, shalom, shalom. Welcome to the Native Latin and Black Lost History Show. Gosh, that was a real messed up intro. I apologize. Shalom, shalom, shalom. All right. So it's been a while since we've spoken about current events. So we're going to discuss that today. I have a few different things. We'll see how the conversation goes. Anyway, this is the Native Latin and Black Lost History Show. I'm Captain Yashua.
Shabbat shalom, Captain Apar.
Hey, shalom, most high and grace blessed, Captain Amariah.
Shalom, family, Soldier Gamaliel.
Soldier Gamaliel.
Gamma Jew?
Gamma Jew is back.
Yo, why we always got to come up with, like, you see how we are? Like, we always got to come up with nicknames and stuff. Like, your name ain't good enough.
It's biblical.
Like, Ruvain got Ruvain, but then, you know, he got to be
Ruda Brew. I get it. You know what? I mean, to be honest, though, I'm real suspect on nickname brothers. Really?
Yeah.
Agents. I think agent when I hear a nickname. I'm just letting you know. Straight. You're being watched.
All praises. Keep your eyes on me.
Anyway, so Captain Apart has been away for a little while. Still away, actually, right at this moment.
Still away.
He's missing the cue. I'm trying to throw something to him so he could talk and stuff because he hasn't been here in a little while.
Throw me the freaking bone here.
What do you mean? You guys have, I didn't even talk about the calling number yet. Okay.
Hard at work. You want to go in?
Yeah. So, you know, calling number is 516-531-9797. 516-531-9797. If you'd like to get more learning and understanding on your true heritage, you can go to IsraelUnite.org. That's www.IsraelUnite.org. If you want to purchase apparel, various merchandise, music, fridges, you name it, to represent for your true heritage.
That's right.
You can go ahead and go to OriginalRoyalty.com after the Sabbath is over. www.OriginalRoyalty.com. All right. Are you ready, Captain Fire? Because, you know, I want to post some links and stuff like that, so I figured maybe I'll just let you talk a little bit of, you know, kind of do that thing. So.
Well, shalom, brothers and sisters. Happy Sabbath. Happy New Year.
Yeah, that's right.
The real one.
The real
New Year. You should comment on that briefly.
Yeah, I'm going
to comment on that. Listening that I don't know what that is.
All right, so we've been taught to believe that New Year's the new year will begin January 1st. That is an absolute total lie. According to the scripture, the new year actually begins around springtime. All right. This past Thursday evening was the beginning of the year, also known as the month of Abib, which means, it's a Hebrew word, which means ear of corn, which goes ahead and basically lets you know that all life begins in the springtime, not in the winter. Nothing grows in the winter. All right. January 1st is pagan, has pagan origins. You can do the research on it. There's plenty of information on the internet regarding how pagan New Year's, the New Year's that we've been taught to believe in, is. But our New Year's, our culture, our heritage, okay, us being the Most High's heritage, chosen people, his peculiar people, begins in March.
The book of Deuteronomy.
March, April.
Chapter 16 and verse 1. Observe the month of Abib and keep the Passover unto the Lord thy God. For in the month of Abib, the Lord thy God brought thee forth out of Egypt by night.
Okay, so that's referring to where we start celebrating the Passover. Okay, so that happened around springtime. Go ahead.
I went there first just to show them that you're talking about Abib.
No, I wanted you to go there. Yeah, that was good.
Exodus 12, verse 2. This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you.
All right, so he went to the first scripture in Deuteronomy, okay, that states that Abib, okay, is the month that we were taken out from our captivity in Egypt. And he did it on the first day of the month. The Most High is all about order. It's all about structure. He does everything decently and in order. When you look at the months, okay, let's look at the months the way that they're titled now. Okay, September actually means seven. It's Latin for seven. October is 10. November is
nine.
I'm sorry, nine. Sorry, eight, nine. Right, correct. Correct me. October is eight. Okay. November 9, December 10, which means January will be what?
11.
February?
12.
And then March, April?
That would be 1.
That would be 1.
Boom. Get them.
You know, so those of you that didn't know, those of you that are new to that or had questions about it, that's the straight to the point breakdown.
Yeah, let me get a quick scripture. Give me Daniel 7, verse 25. Just to piggyback off that real quick to show the prophecy as to why our people think that January 1st is the new year. I was confusing the hell out of people at work. I was going around, hey, Happy New Year. Happy New Year. Happy New Year.
Oh, you were telling them that?
Yeah. Hey, Happy New Year. Happy New Year.
You were saying Shabbat.
Shabbat Shalom. But this is why our people subscribe to January is the new year. Read that.
This is the book of Daniel, chapter 7, verse 25. And he shall speak great words against the Most High.
The he here is referring to the Caucasian race, all right, who the Bible calls Esau, who the world so ignorantly calls Caucasians, whites, Europeans, so on and so forth. But read on.
And shall wear out the saints of the Most High.
And he wore us out in slavery, all right? The 12 tribes of Israel are under this man's hand unto this day. Read.
And think to change times and laws.
So that's what he did. He thought to change times and laws. All right. One of the biggest things to do to confuse as a people was to strip us from our heritage and teach us things that are contrary to what the Bible says. That's why it started out and said, he shall speak great words against the Most High. The Most High says that the new year starts in springtime when all new life comes into the earth, right? The flowers blossom, the trees blossom. But then this man said, no. Let's reverse that and say, in the dead of winter, that's when the new year begins. So that's where our people so ignorantly subscribe to it, because that was the prophecy that has been fulfilled in the year today.
Right. I went over it in class on Thursday. There's good and evil, positive, negative, whatever way, yin, yang, whatever way you want to look at it. If you're not following the good, you're following the evil.
That's right.
The good is everything that the Bible says. He said the first month is the springtime, the first month. The bad is what everything the heathen follows.
Right. Right.
You know? So everything else, if you notice, all of their worship holidays are in the winter. Saturnalia, which is Christmas, okay, it's the worship of the sun, which is where that derived from. New Year's Eve, celebrating, worshiping Janus. Do you want to call it January?
You know what? That's
not Janus from the block.
Not Janus.
Janus, J-A-N-U-S.
Don't be confused.
Not Earth.
Earth. You know what? That's actually the point, too. Because you said it's either you're serving good or serving evil, right? That's why Christ said it's either being hot or cold. You can't be lukewarm.
Yeah.
Right? So it's either there's no gray area with the Most High. That's what they call commandments, not suggestions.
And that's why he said you can't serve two masters either. So you can't. You can't. That's hot or cold.
Literally, just yesterday at work. Literally, just yesterday at work. We were talking, and then somehow we brought up food. And I said, no, I can't have food. And then someone's like, oh, that's right, because, like, your stuff. So someone chimes in, who's Jay? All right? Darker than night, man. He says, he's like,
sorry.
He's like, why can't you have that? I'm like, I don't get it. And then someone else chimes in and says, because it's in the Bible. So he follows the Bible. He's like, yeah, well, that's the Old Testament. He's like, besides, on that day, I'm going to just have a conversation with God, and I'm going to explain it to you.
Oh, he's going to explain it to God.
Bro.
The
hairs on my arm stood up so crazy quick. I was terrified for him. I was like,
did I get the script?
Oh, the ignorant.
the ignorance of this man's mouth. I was terrified. How did that work out for everybody? How did that work out for the two vagabond Jews that wanted to cast out spirits?
I didn't even say anything. It was the other one that was like, oh, hold on, bro. Like, no. That's not my work. He goes, what did he have a conversation with? He goes, the Bible is a conversation with you. And I was like, okay. Got him.
You got some?
Directly, you will be destroyed. All right, go ahead.
And believe thee forever. And Moses told the words of the people unto the Lord.
Go ahead, read on.
And the Lord said unto Moses, go unto the people, and sanctify them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes.
Right, so at this time there was like a specific sanctification ritual, right? But how are you going to go unclean in that day before the Lord? Because you're unclean because we know the Lord sanctify you, they cleanse you. And he ain't keep law one all his life, and he going to go up there and try to get sanctified that way, right?
So about why can he rap?
Get out of here,
bro,
man.
Bro, rabbit in your teeth.
Rabbit?
Hold on 1 second, all right? Can y'all...
What, you mean talking to a guy with rabbit breath?
Yeah. It wasn't even shrimp that he's defending. At least some common, right?
Bro, it was... I was telling a story about a camping trip from when I was younger, and then it went into someone was eating rabbit, and then he says, oh, rabbit is delicious. And someone doesn't even the truth was like, you can't eat rabbit. That's not lawful. So the guy that said it was clean shaved, so it was actually pretty funny. But I'm like, yo, like, I'm like, really? It's almost as ignorant when women say, these are women's pants. Just to fulfill that.
Well, what are
you guys lust?
Right. That's exactly what it is. Just to fulfill the lust, but also mainly it's to be contrary. Because at the end of the day, these are the same people that claim they read the Bible day in and day out, that are in church for 6 hours every Sunday.
Right.
Right. And even if they are there on the Sabbath, right, because there's some denominations like Seventh-day Adventists, they follow the Sabbath the right, you know, the way it's supposed to be, Friday night to Saturday night. You claiming that you're there worshiping because you love God, you love Christ, the whole thing, but you really hate this Bible.
That's Isaiah
really
30
hate.
Right
yeah.
there.
Yeah, it is Isaiah 30.
That's
right?
Isaiah 30. It is. I mean, even for me, the laws were secondary. It was the identity piece first, right? Like you read in 1 Kings, it's knowing who you are. So me, it was like, okay, this is cool. I can see myself in the Bible. I actually have an identity versus what I've been told I am. I can see what I am according to God. And then the laws were secondary to it. So you have that choice then. It's, okay, do I accept this as one thing that's together? Because the heritage is the land, the language, the laws. Do I put everything together?
Mm-hmm.
Or do I just like the identity piece and cast the laws behind me? And that's what 2/3 of our people do. Like, this guy that said that about the whole eating rabbit, he understands that he's Israel. Like, he likes that. He understands that Christ is black and everything else.
Right.
He's like, yeah, I've always been taught that. But when it comes to the laws, or people despise that thing.
And you know what's funny, Kat? That it's not even funny. It's sad, but it's true. It's just a figure of speech that, you know, you say. But it's always been about not following the law, statutes, and commandments, why the Most High has had issues with us.
Right.
It's always been about that. Okay, from the beginning with Abel and...
switch out with me and go inside and help Cam out.
From the beginning. From the beginning. All right, well then, in that case, real quick, since I said it, I'm going to get Isaiah 30. All right, I'm going to pilot this mission alone for a second while the captains deal with something outside. Isaiah 30, and I'm going to start at verse 8. All right, this is our people. All right, when I say our people, I'm referring to the 12 tribes of Israel, the blacks, Hispanics, and Native Americans, who are the biblical Israelites. Whether they want to believe that or not, that's what God said they are, so that's what they are. Isaiah 30, verse 8, it says, now go, write it before them in a table, and note it in a book, that it may be for a time to come forever and ever. So the book that it was noted in is this Bible. It's the Bible, it's the history book that was given to the Israelites, the book of laws and the history book given to one specific nation of people. Verse 9, that this is a rebellious people, lying children that will not hear the law of the Lord, which say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto his right things, speak unto his smooth things, prophesy deceit. So the identity piece is what our people like. People like that they can see slave ships, they can like that they can see their people being spoken from the Bible, but when it comes to the laws, they want to cast that behind them and say, no, we're all one in Christ Jesus, we're all washed in the blood of the Lamb. They love knowing they're Israel, but they don't like the responsibility of being Israel and keeping God's laws. Verse 11, it says, get you out of the way, turn aside out of the path, cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. So when it comes to the reproof or the correction that the Bible brings forth, they don't want to hear any of that, because God's laws do what? They discipline you. They put you into a box. That's why it says that the spirit of wisdom cannot dwell in a malicious soul. It calls it the Holy Spirit of discipline. And those that aren't ready to fully embrace being born again can't endure in this walk, because they can't overcome that lust and temptation that the world so easily puts in front of them as a stumbling block. Let me see what else I want on that. That was it on that.
Okay. All right. Yeah, apologies about that. We just had to handle something outside. So going back to my thought here, if you get back to Exodus 19, right? So we spoke about that, you know, they had to be sanctified. We know the laws need to sanctify you. The Lord ain't going to deal with you unclean in that day. I just want to read how Israel had to prepare just for the Lord to come down in a cloud. And this dude talking about, I'm going to have a conversation with God that day. So read verse 11.
Exodus 19, verse 11. And be ready against the third day. For the third day, the Lord will come down in the sight of all the people upon Mount Sinai. And thou shalt set bounds unto the people round about, saying, take heed to yourselves, that ye go not up into the mount, or touch the border of it. Whosoever toucheth the mount shall be surely put to death.
So they said he was going to be up in the mountain. They couldn't even touch the base of the mountain, or they would die in his presence. All right, read on.
There shall not an hand touch it, but he shall surely be stoned or shot through. Whether it be beast or man, it shall not live. When the trumpet soundeth long, they shall come up to the mount.
Now, what it's saying here is that if they would have touched them, in verse 12, he's saying if they touch the mountain, they're going to die in my presence. Mm-hmm. But he says if somebody, verse 13 is basically saying if they try to go touch it, y'all need to take them out before they touch it.
Yep.
Like, because the Lord don't want to be unclean with that nonsense. So you kidding me? Like, he's going to be there talking about, he going to have a conversation with them about rabbit.
Bruh.
Ridiculous, bro. Ridiculous.
That's that spirit of deep sleep that the Lord said he would put on our people.
Yeah.
People really subscribe and believe to that thing, because we've been so conditioned to think that man created God versus the other way around. Like,
yeah.
Our people don't believe. That's why it says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom.
Right.
Our people have lost that fear for the Most High.
They really have, man. They really have. Anyway, switching gears a little bit. And again, apologies for the interruption, since we wear multiple hats here. So I had this article that I wanted to talk about. And, you know, between this and one other, I think that'll be like kind of, there's a few, but we'll see what we get to. There's a few. Because as I was browsing some of the news, there's another one here. And I only really want one excerpt from it, and I'll summarize it. This one is called, Why Do So Many Egyptian Statues Have Broken Noses?
Ooh, okay.
But a lot of it is just fluff, right? So to show you their nonsense. But there's one paragraph from it that I want to read later.
Hey, a lot is fluff. You're right, but it's a legitimate question that needs
well,
to be.
Well, it is.
Asked.
Well, so the article talks about that. The reason I'm saying their reason is fluff, but then in the same article they cut themselves with something they say. So,
that's the best. Yeah, that's the best.
So you know, I'm thinking they will be like, well, because the Egyptians are black and everybody got mad, and they put the noses off, right? So I'm like, wow, they're finally gonna say. No, he doesn't say that. He says some other nonsense, bro.
Dang.
Like something about they believe the spirit lied in the image of what they made. So by taking the nose off, the spirit can't breathe, so it's going to die.
Oh, that's what you mean by fluff.
That's the fluff
okay.
that I'm talking about.
Okay.
That's the
All
fluff
right.
that I'm talking about. But anyway, let me go to this one, because I found this one interesting. So Fox News contributor called complete moron for falsely saying U.S. was first to end slavery.
Mm.
Fox News contributor Katie Pavlik attempted to counter Senator Elizabeth Warren. This is the senator, the Edomite. She's the $5 Indian. Trump calls her Pocahontas. She says she's Native American. I don't think she has a drop of Native American blood.
Just because your people stole the land doesn't mean
right.
doesn't make you that.
Right.
That
so
people.
So you know, he's always calling her Pocahontas because he's like she's full of crap.
Right.
But anyway, so Elizabeth Warren, she called to counter what she was saying, because basically Elizabeth Warren is running for president. So Elizabeth Warren was basically talking about the injustices of slavery and its lasting systemic impact on generations of African Americans by claiming that the United States does not get enough credit for ending slavery. This is what Katie Pavlik said, because she was upset that Elizabeth Warren said that slavery needs to be discussed. It's something that America doesn't talk about face on, right? You know, and that we need to address its lasting systemic impact, which is what we've been talking about
right.
for ages, that, you know, we are yet this day in our captivity, so on and so forth, right? And so before I jump into her ignorant comments, I want to read a little bit about what Elizabeth Warren was saying, and then let's talk about the politics behind that, because that's what really is motivating her to say that, right? Because this is an Edomite woman. Remember, the scripture says, and you're watching, you watch for a nation that cannot save you.
Right.
This is all a political sham to try to get into office, because this is her line now, right? Elizabeth Warren, time for a full-blown conversation about reparations to blacks.
Okay. All right.
So she's running on the premise that she's saying we got to have the discussion to prepare the 40 acres and a mule.
Right.
You know there's not enough land in the United States anymore for that, right?
No, absolutely not.
Okay.
Well, and then plus, even if it was a monetary thing, our people are so destroyed that it would go right back to Esau anyway.
Well, and listen, and we saw that with Chappelle's skit. You remember mm-hmm. that skit where they paid reparations?
Right.
He said like 100 record labels opened that same day. The stock of KFC
right.
went up.
Exactly.
Cigarette stock
Newports.
Went up.
Yeah,
Newports,
exactly.
All that stuff like that. He made a caricature about that because our people aren't prepared for that sort of stuff. But again, these are just, you know, every time you come near election years, there's tactics to put our people to sleep. And so this Edomite is saying the country needs to talk about the injustices of American slavery and address it head on. Now, let's just say if they did try to pay some form of reparations, first of all, they can't really give you the land
mm-hmm.
and the mule. And plus, Jake won't even know what to do with that.
Right.
We're so destroyed and dependent on our masters, right? They would, I guarantee you, the way that they would kind of finagle this thing is value what 40 acres was back then.
Mm-hmm.
Put a dollar value on it, put a dollar value on a mule, and cut you a check. And everybody's going to wind up getting like $800.
Yep. Yep. That's absolutely
but we paid reparations.
Yep.
And that's what they'll say. Right. So let me read this. So it says, at a town hall Monday, Senator Elizabeth Warren said she would support a full-blown congressional discussion about reparations for the descendants of former slaves. Now, mind you, she said a discussion.
Mm-hmm.
She would support a discussion. Full blown is very arbitrary.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what a full blown is. But see, this is the type of speak that gets our people all,
yep.
So they're going to rally behind this chick because she's talking about that, right? Full blown, whatever that means, whatever full blown means, congressional discussion about reparations for the descendants of former slaves. A discussion. America was founded on principles of liberty and freedom and on the backs of slave labor, the 2020 presidential candidate said at the event. That is a stain on America, and we're not going to fix that. We're not going to change that until we address it head on directly. She added, I believe it's time to start the national full-blown conversation about reparations in this country. Warren made the remarks at a CNN presidential town hall at Jackson State University in Mississippi. She says she directly supported a House bill that would create a congressional commission to develop proposals for reparations to African Americans descended from slaves, although Warren failed to directly say if she would support any financial payment at this time. So notice that. Notice the double talk there. All right. She says the bill was first introduced by former Rep. John Conyers in 1989, but Rep. Sheila Jackson reintroduced it in January, according to Politico. The legislation would also make recommendations concerning any form of apology and compensation to begin the long-delayed process of atonement for slavery. So they said make recommendations for a form of an apology and compensation.
Yeah, real quick.
Uh-huh.
The value of the 40 acres and the mule today
mm-hmm.
for all the people
mm-hmm.
would be $6.4 trillion.
Right. So they don't have that money.
There's no way.
They don't have that money to pay out. So they would – that's what I'm saying. So they would
yep.
go back and give it to you in money then, not adjusted for inflation.
Mm-hmm.
They would give it to you in what it would cost then. That's what I'm saying. Everybody would wind up with like an $800 check. You really think they got $6.4 trillion? And then distribute that to all the descendants of slaves, everybody wind up with like an $800 check, I'm telling you.
Right.
And that's if they do it, bro. That's if they do it. This is all talk, right? So it says, Warren first voiced her support for a discussion on reparations last month, saying America needed to confront the dark history of slavery and government-sanctioned discrimination in this country. Now the things that she's saying are true, right? These are things that happen or whatever, right? On Monday, she addressed generations of inequality, pointing to studies that show vast gulfs in net worth between black families and white families. Because of housing discrimination, because of employment discrimination, we live in a world where for the average white family has $100, the average black family has about $5.
Jeez.
That's the disparity That's some of the long impacting effect of slavery on our people. And that means I support the bill in the House to appoint a congressional panel of experts, people that are studying this, and talk about different ways we may be able to do it and make a report back to Congress so that we can, as a nation, do what's right and begin to heal. Warren is one of a few Democratic candidates who directly endorsed the idea of reparations. Senator Kamala Harris has broadly touted the idea, and other candidates such as former Housing and Urban Development Secretary Julian Castro have espoused some support, but many others have been wary to take firm positions on the issue. Warren announced a presidential bid last month, becoming one of the more prominent names in an already crowded field of Democrats vying to unseat President Donald Trump in 2020.
Gosh.
Interesting. I think it's interesting. I know it's not going to go anywhere. And like I said, if you think about that and just, you know, I mean,
that's the smokescreen. That's the smooth words. That's all the things that need to be said in order just to get our people to just run with that.
Aggravating to me because to me I look at that and you're gonna have a lot of people run with that and say and then you know people that we're teaching on the streets they're gonna be well you got this one saying this and it's crazy how people will fight tooth and nail against this and we dissect and give the sense and bring things out to them but on the promise of somebody who's continually broken promises right she's representative of the race that continually broke promises to our people just having this discussion, they'll embrace it wholesale.
I know for a fact that our people will fully embrace this because, one, the scripture says a gift destroys the heart. So the Bible is the only true book in the earth. I've seen it firsthand. I've been at camp. I was in Dallas one time. We're at camp, and these Judahites were listening, right? They were, they're asking some good questions. But then here comes their friendly neighborhood white man, right, who obviously has a problem. Hey, where's Caucasians on the tribe, right? You know, you get that question. Oh, well, they're not on there. So then when he started bucking up, then Jake started bucking up, right? This Edomite, right, was going full steam ahead, and these Jakes were trying to calm him down because they were listening. Mm-hmm. This dude walked across the street to the McDonald's and bought some cheeseburgers. He came back and gave them to Judah. That's it. They were pacified, bro.
Wow. Like when the dude bought ices so everybody in the Bronx can't.
Bro, they were completely on his side after that.
Oh,
and then we were like,
oh my goodness.
And then so we're explaining, look, like he made you break the Sabbath, all these things. And they were like, well, he got his burgers. What you guys got for us? And they were like flinging these burgers around like this guy just like did something incredible.
Hey, but that's not surprising, bro. That's the spirit. That's the spirit of our people, man.
Yo, I forgot about the ices in the Bronx video.
Yes.
Those are kids, man.
Yes, man.
Oh,
the
God.
Dude came out and bought ices. The whole crowd turned against the camp because the Edomite bought them ices, bro, from the Coco Helado guy.
It was a hot day, though.
Those ices are pretty good. I missed that. I missed that in New York.
Oh, man.
But, bro, you see how fickle our people are.
Right.
You know, and it's just, I mean, we're going to actually in today's class, as I continue to go over some history, we're going to see multiple times that our people continue to see miracles from the Most High, from the past, from the plagues and the Passover, to the stuff that in their pursuit, parting of the Red Sea, so on, to water from the rock, from the cloud protecting them, from the serpent healing them, from manna coming down from heaven, and yet they all still, when things got a certain way, when their memory left them, right, short-term memory.
Absolutely, yep.
When their memory left them of all the great things that the Lord was doing for them to sustain them in the wilderness, they would always complain about when we were in Egypt, we had this.
That's right.
When we were in Egypt, I mean, it's multiple times.
Yet, when you read in Judah 5, he tells you, hey, who are these people in the hill country? And he says, oh, yeah, those are guys that were slaves in Egypt.
Yeah.
They understood that we were slaves, but our people were, like you said, so quick to forget.
Yes.
Nah, man. Yep. We remember the garlic and the leeks.
Yeah.
And the onions and the fish.
Bro, they always talking about that stuff. They always talking about it. Even when they were thirsty and complaining, they were asking for Egypt again. So it's funny how with ices, the dude bought cheeseburgers and
Flipped. And they flipped on his hard body.
And they weren't even Five Guys, right? Because then I would have been like, yo, the dude invested some money. He went and got like some dollar burgers from McDonald's, right?
Bro, he came back with a bag of burger. And then you look, and this is how I know that it's so easy for people to flip. You know why?
I love burgers though.
No, and that was gonna be my next point because this is how I know that it's so easy for them who are without the knowledge, right?
Right.
I'm standing there. I woke up late for camp and I'm hungry as hell. And I'm like, yo, burger sounds delicious right now. So that's how I know for them, it was easy for them. Like, oh, yeah, screw this Bible stuff.
Right.
Let me get this burger.
Yeah, man, I'm telling you. Listen, Esau did what he do. And that was perfect strategy, right? We really got to watch out for his own people, man.
Yep.
You know, they, I mean, listen, don't get me wrong. Esau, you know, you got to watch certain things or whatever. But it's, what happens is your guard is down because your own people. Your guard is up generally with Esau. Most people of Jake, of, you know, Jacob's descendants, you know, blacks, Hispanics, natives. We're usually pretty wary of Edom, right? Which is biblically what they call the white man today, what the world ignorantly calls the white man. We're weary of him.
Mm-hmm.
But it's our own people where you kind of let your guard down a little bit, and them the ones that come at you, you know, like,
yep.
I mean, man, even amongst you. So that's crazy, man. But anyway, so let me continue on with this. So while discussing reparations to descendants of enslaved people on Fox News, Outnumbered is the name of the show, I guess, on Tuesday, Ms. Pavlik claimed that the U.S. was the first country to abolish slavery. They keep blaming America for the sin of slavery, but the truth is, throughout human history, slavery existed. And America came along as the first country to end it within 150 years, she said. Mm-hmm. And we get no credit for that to move forward and try to make good on that.
Mm-hmm.
So she says they keep blaming America. So, you know, the they who she's speaking about is us.
Right.
Right, you people. You people. They keep blaming America for the sin of slavery, but the truth is, throughout human history, slavery existed. This is true. It really did. This is where you got to have your biblical understanding and understanding that America is just an extension of all the other nations that perpetrated slavery, right? And the difference is the biblical signs that the American slavery represented.
She said the sin of slavery, when it really slavery is a result of sin.
Right. So, yeah, it is another thing. So he goes, and we get no credit. So she goes, they keep for the sin of slavery. But the truth is, throughout human history, slavery existed. And America came along as the first country to end it with 100. She's actually saying a lot there, too. Right. So she's calling it a sin. We understand that the judgments don't pertain to them.
Right.
But in the essence of what she's saying, she knows that there needs to be judgment for their actions.
Absolutely. Yeah.
There needs to be judgment for their actions or for that. So. So they keep blaming America for the sin of slavery, but the truth is, throughout human history, slavery existed. And America came along as the first country to end it within 150 years. And we get no credit for that to move forward and try to make good on that. There was a war to end it. And now we understand motivations for that war weren't totally inspired by ending slavery, right? When you look deeper. But she acts like they all came together and said, hey, we did wrong. The country was divided over this damn thing.
Right.
So that one half of the country wanted to keep it and the other half didn't. And she makes it seem like it was something like, you know, hey, you know, we came together. So this guy says that is simply not true. There are several countries who abolished slavery long before the U.S. did in 1858.
Right.
So, you know, this is good little fodder in case somebody comes up to you and tries to tell you something when you're teaching or whatever.
Well,
right?
plus we know that that's BS too, because she's making it seem like you said they came together and said, hey, you know what, we did wrong. So let's write this thing.
Mm-hmm.
Right. If that were the case, then how come it took 2 years for them to even know that they were even free?
Right.
Why is there even a thing called Juneteenth?
Right.
Because they still didn't know.
And how come the reparations were never paid?
That's right.
Nobody, I mean, there's a history of it. You'll read all the BS. It's because the intention was never to do it.
We want our $6.4 trillion now.
Yeah, give it now, right?
We want it now. $6.4 trillion.
Bro, if they give it now, there's too many of us. If they give it to the descendants of slavery now, there's too many.
Yeah.
It'll be a little, maybe it'll be like, $1,000 each, $1,500. I don't know.
Look, this is my thing, all right? Like when you read in Isaiah 60, when it says that their kings shall bring
their forces.
So they're going to bring it eventually, you know? So let's just be patient. And
it's
just,
on the way.
Right. Just wait on it. When it actually has true value.
Right. Hey, it's funny you say that because like what we're going to get eventually, right, with the kingdom and everything. But I was watching, I watched a show called Into the Badlands, right? And it's pretty good. Like, in general, it's just a good show. Like, for television, like, the fight scenes are crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they say, like, more than half the production budget on the show is for action. So, if you want to watch a show that's action-packed, it's pretty good. Anyway, you know, so now this season, you know, I'm catching up, and there's this guy called the Pilgrim, and he's supposed to be, like, the Messiah.
Mm-hmm.
He's black, incidentally. And he says... his like advisor says in one part I was watching it. I think it was last night or the day before yesterday. This one episode, and it stood out to me, and it made me. And it just goes to show you the stuff that they put in movies that reflect the scriptures. So one of the barons is there, and she's talking to her, and she's like, you know, there's been people like you before. People, things are gonna. She goes, no. The difference is this: these men of faith that you followed in the past. She goes, I'm paraphrasing. She goes, they put you and put your hope in the promise of something that's, you know, in the heavens,
mm-hmm.
you know, she was like, you know, like the hereafter. And she's like, the difference with us and with the pilgrim is that we're talking about, they call it Azra, not heaven in the show. We're talking about new Azra, and it's a kingdom here on earth.
Mm-hmm.
That people are going to be able to rejoice in. And I was like, wow, look at a little right. sleight of hand that they put there, right? A little sleight of ear, yeah. maybe, right? Because people aren't listening. So it's funny that you say that. Like, we have and it made me start thinking about the mindset of our people, is that that's another number that's been on us. That's another form of conditioning and psychology that they've done to us. For us to look at heaven as this celestial place in the sky
mm-hmm.
that you go to in mm-hmm. the spirit form. And everybody totally overlooked in Matthew when it said, your thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven.
Right,
the kingdom of heaven will be in earth. It'll be something that you can physically, tangibly experience.
It's a number of a few things. It's one, it's that when the scripture says that we will learn the fear of the Lord from man, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he's the one that taught us it's just you grow wings and go fly in the sky.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, by the precepts of men. That's why I said beware of those things.
So there's that aspect of it, and then there's the impatience factor of our people when we want things now. We want it now. We don't understand that, like you said, that kingdom come, that will be done. We don't, like, we can't fully grasp that. So we get told reparations, but, oh, I can physically hold that and see that now, versus waiting on a much greater reward that we can't even begin to fathom how great it is.
Hey, it goes back to Micah, and I think of that scripture often there's a lot of things that can make you real, that will make you think like this is the kingdom, bro. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm telling you, something as simple as, and going back to the people with the burger, when you're hungry, right? And you're like super hungry, a McDonald's cheeseburger will hit the spot, and you'll be like, damn, this is delicious.
And you know it's death.
Right. And you'll be like, because he was telling a story how he saw in Dallas, like, they were teaching some Jake. Edom came up and, you know, obviously asking where he is on the charts. Long story short, he goes to McDonald's, comes back with like a sack of burgers, and the whole Jake's turned against the camp after that.
Flipped on us.
You know, and that was talking about in the Bronx camp that time when they bought Icy.
Deacon Ita talking about it. Turn on for ice cream. I was like, man.
Yep. So you will be deceived. It goes back to what we read earlier in Isaiah 66 and 4 about the delusion that the Lord chooses for you to accept.
Right.
And that's the delusion. You know, Christ said it too. You know, you read in the New Testament, it talks about if it were possible, they would deceive the very elect. It talks about the, you know, forms of witchcraft and all this conditioning that has our people in our mind that it's hard for them to realize, like, hey, this kingdom of heaven is not going to be this place in the clouds that, mm-hmm. you know, when it's something that's rooted in fables, in Jewish fables, right? Like the scriptures,
right.
False stories. It's hard for you to fathom because you can't relate to that. You can relate to pay me now because you would say, I'm going to buy my Jordans. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. Mm-hmm. Whatever it is, right? You know, when you talk about the food, I'll keep it real rudimentary. You can relate to the innate, I'm hungry.
Right.
Listen, it could have been anything. He could have bought them cheese and crackers and they'd have been happy. You mm-hmm. know what I'm saying?
They'd have been like,
right.
What do y'all got for us?
Yeah, because I told them.
I said
I would have been a little more impressed if he would have bought them Five Guys because that ain't cheap. You know what I'm saying? Like, he would have came with like bags of Five Guys or something like that.
And then this is how I can understand how people think that way, because I know the scriptures and I know the prophecies and everything else. And it's still hard for me to wrap my head around the kingdom being established on earth.
Well, the scripture says eyes have not seen what the Lord has prepared for us.
So on that level, I get it.
Right,
you know?
Right.
So,
but it goes back to that tangibility, right? And we're a people that, because again, I mean, it's a compounding of so many different things that have happened to us that gets us to the mindset that we have today, where we're confused by that, and you know, it puts you in that state of mind to say, hey, we know what's tangible and what's real, and it's hard for us to have a vision. That's why the scripture says, where there's no vision, the people perish.
Right.
Because it's outside of your scope. Like, it's unrealistic, right? Like, somebody who's had a hard time losing weight, can never really envision himself because, hey, I've never been fit, so I can't see that for me. So that seems unrealistic. And it takes what? An extreme amount of discipline, faith, right? Adherence to strict programming to get you to that. Not unlike spiritually what it takes for us to get the kingdom.
That's right.
To say, hey, all right, this is something here
I like that.
That's hard for us to fathom and hard for us to see as something tangible, right? And we've been waiting so many years for this kingdom to come. Everybody has said the end is near, the end is near. And you sit there and you say, listen, okay, it's going to be a base thing. I'm the least things in this earth and not mighty. This is partially what's inspired the series of classes that I'm embarking on here in Phoenix when I started last week. What so nation is so great as ours, right? This great history that we have that's right here in the Bible still preserved to this day. So first you have to see yourself as this great people. And everywhere you go, you're told that you're not. And not only told that verbally to your face,
right?
You see it in everything.
Yeah, that's the problem right
we
there.
We are not represented anywhere I got to use a basic word. I was going to say ubiquitously, which means just everywhere, which is we're not represented. But I go to that place when I start talking and like the I feel like I'm writing.
It happens.
You get it. Which just means everywhere. We're not represented everywhere. Right. We're not. So it goes with that mindset first. Then it goes with the discipline it takes to keep this. The scripture says he who gain his life will lose his life. Right. And it's not. Listen, the fringes, the beard. The thing is, it's again, with the analogy of working out. When you first start out and you haven't been doing it, the 5 pound weights seem like you're lifting 50 or 100 pounds. Right. But what? As you get on and on, you're able to progress and deal with more and you get stronger and you're able to overcome it, right? So it starts off that something like the dietary law of fringes or whatever is hard for you in the beginning.
It really is. No.
Right. The Sabbath days and all that, it's difficult for you in the beginning. And then once you overcome that, more starts coming at you. You're able to deal with more spiritually, right? So first the identity, embracing what it really means. Then the discipline it takes to keep these commandments behind that. And then the faith that the thing unseen is going to happen.
And then that's what it is, too, is that people read about, like, the Red Sea parting. They read about the plagues in Egypt. And they can't begin to fathom that thing because they're like, what? But that's where we were as a people back then. Like the Most High showed us those miracles, not understanding that the prophecies of our people having strong illusions, those things are miracles being conducted today.
Right.
Like, we still have those things to see. But now it's like, okay, I gave it to you freely. And I showed you these things, and you still forsook it. So now I need you to walk by faith.
It's a requirement now because our people saw it then.
Right.
And because we were talking when you guys were out how, if you think about it, it wasn't just one time that Israel complained in the wilderness about going back to Egypt.
They were complaining
every time they were thirsty, every time they were hungry. And this is why I go back to such a basic thing like the burgers. I'm going to harp on the burgers and the ices. He was talking about in Dallas how this guy came up and this Edomite bought the people that they were teaching cheeseburgers and the whole crowd turned against him.
Remember when the guy bought us the kids
the
ices?
Yeah, I know. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it's not surprising to us that are learned that this happens that way. So there's an understanding as to how it happens and why people could be so easily dissuaded. Because what we're talking about, Cap, I'll catch you up. We're reading some articles where Elizabeth Warren, all right,
the fake Pocahontas, like Trump calls her,
is saying, and this is going to be probably part of her campaigning, that we need to have a serious discussion about reparations and the injustice of slavery. So she's lining this up to try to have the so-called black vote overwhelmingly come out and support her to topple, you know, Trump as he runs for re-election. So we read a little bit about that, and then we're jumping to this Katie Pavlik, who on Fox News was saying that America was the first to end slavery. So that's kind of where we're at and why we started talking about all this other stuff. So because I'm saying it's all just a lineup.
It's all rhetoric,
that people are going to embrace it off of nothing. So we're just talking about the mindset that's led to that for our people to so easily eat this type of stuff up. Because we experienced it when Obama got elected.
Because
that was right around the time when we first started repenting. We were like, our people are asleep now. You know, they're going to look at this thing and, you know, they got the wake up call. So now instead of them putting another black face up, right, because the last black face that was there didn't do anything for our people. All right. They're like, okay, they'll believe it if the white face says that they're going
to
do it.
Bro, his whole thing, right, was to give our people the illusion of inclusion, obviously, But all he did was push gay marriage. That's what he got accomplished.
That was the biggest thing, right?
That's what he got accomplished.
Will be known for.
That and Obamacare.
And Obamacare. Obama phone.
Obama phone.
And giving out free phones.
So so Katie Pavlik says here, they keep playing America for the sin of slavery, but the truth is throughout human history, slavery existed, and America came along as the first country to end it within 150 years, she said. And we get no credit for that to move forward and try to make good on that. That is simply not true. There are several countries who abolished slavery long before the U.S. did in 1858 with the 13th Amendment. Some of those countries include Haiti in 1804, Spain in 1811, Sweden in 1813, the Netherlands 1814, the United Kingdom in 1833, Denmark in 1836, France in 1848, and Portugal in 1858. So this is twofold here, right? First, it's, you know, this Edomite erroneously talking about trying to take it's this whole thing of just trying to set themselves up. But we ended it first,
right?
And we already discussed like the mindset that it was a war fought over ending it. It wasn't like they all sat
Let's
down
stop.
And said, let's stop because this is evil what we're doing, right? This is a sin. But you see, these are all countries that are part of that Confederacy, right? This was all like, you know, you look at this. These are when Psalms 83
and
talks
then,
about
and
they were
then
Confederate.
Even when they ended it, they still had the black man bend over and use his back to sign it.
Well, and that's interesting because the article talks about that. So it says, despite all of this, Ms. Pavlik continued to argue that giving reparations to African Americans would worsen race relations in the country.
Sure would.
If you want to inflame racial tension even more, start blaming people who have nothing to do with slavery for the sin of slavery.
Mm.
That is not fair. That's not the American way, and we shouldn't be doing it. The Fox News contributor's controversial comments prompted widespread backlash on social media. Journalist Soledad O'Brien called Ms. Pavlik a complete moron for her inaccurate remarks on slavery. It is hard for Katie Pavlik to be a complete moron, Ms. O'Brien tweeted. The utter stupidity. Should have said so. She fired back. She said, should have said one of the first countries, which not even based on the list we read,
right,
from the point of founding. My argument stands, but please continue name-calling as your arguments may. Ms. O'Brien had the last word. The documentary journalist suggests Ms. Pavlik research a little bit before making false historical claims. Your argument is factually inaccurate. Google when slavery started and ended if you don't want to be known for your ignorance.
I have a question.
All right, what's the question?
So the question is, are the majority of blacks indigenous to this hemisphere, or did we all come over on a ship? What slavery was slavery told in reverse?
Okay, so are the majority of blacks indigenous to this hemisphere, or did we all come over on a ship? Get second, Ezra's. Mm-hmm.
We all
all right.
You got to start with that. You got to start with that.
We got 7 minutes on the broadcast, but being that he's on Facebook, if we go over, we'll just go over. So go ahead and read 2 Ezra. So first you have to understand how the migration happened, right? How this side of the hemisphere got
populated
by us, all right? So so I understand what you mean by indigenous. I just know the world, academia tells you it was populated by the land, you know, the Asian landmass, mm-hmm. and people walked over, and there was nobody here, the scripture tells us. And the Israelites were the first people to populate this. So I need to read this part, and then I'll let you understand. See, because when I hear blacks, I think of all Israel.
Right.
I'm assuming this question, right. He's thinking blacks. He's talking about what would be known as African Americans, which remind me to mention like the Olmecs is one example of that. All right. So go ahead and read that.
This is the book of 2 Ezra, chapter 13, verse 40. Those are the 10 tribes which were carried away prisoners out of their own land in the time of Hosea, the king, whom...
We're talking about the king of Assyria, right? So how the captivities first started, right? So right now he's talking about what would be known as the northern kingdom tribes, specifically, and that would be what you would call today your so-called Hispanics, not of Spaniard origin, right? Because people think Spain.
Mm-hmm.
But we're talking about who you see today in Central South America, the Caribbean, as well as your prototypical, stereotypical image of Gadites like that, all right? So go ahead.
Whom Salmanasar, the king of Assyria, led away captive.
Go ahead.
And he carried them over the waters, and so came they into another land.
So this is when they were in Nineveh, and this was the beginning of a lot of transpiring of this captivity, all right? Go ahead.
But they took this counsel amongst themselves that they would leave the multitude of the heathen.
So, right. So, the Persian king, it was Darius, he granted them freedom. And they went ahead and they said, okay, you can go back to Jerusalem and build the temples again, mm-hmm. or you could just stay here and it's fine. Do whatever you want. If you want to go somewhere, you could travel. All right. And what happened was a bulk of what you would know as so-called blacks went back to Jerusalem to build the wall. This is where you have a lot of that history in the Old Testament of them working to rebuild the walls in Jerusalem, so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. Now, that includes your what you would call West Indians, as well as what you would call Haitians today as well. But what you would know as the Hispanics and Native Americans, they took this counsel among themselves. Now, I'll say this now before we get to the end of it. It doesn't mean that it was exclusively those tribes.
That's
all
right?
So some northern kingdom did stay behind so that they can help rebuild the walls and they cleaved again to Judah and everything. Okay. And then some southern kingdom said, hey, we want to go with you on these ships as well.
Right.
All right.
So and the proof of that is when you read in the New Testament with the woman from Samaria.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
That
John,
is the proof
John 4.
That some people, yes. because we still were here and this east in the Western Hemisphere, and a remnant, like the captain said, stay behind.
Right.
And yes, you got to believe that a remnant of Southern Kingdom came with us.
Right.
Definitely.
Right. And that's the key word
too.
Is remnant. So after we read this, that's exactly the point that I want to get. So the short answer to your question is, yes, what you would know as blacks, there was a remnant that did come over. But either way, it was still on ships. Some were on slave ships.
That's right.
Right? And some were on ships that they made themselves, which we're going to read now. So they took this counsel among themselves.
And go forth into further country where never mankind dwelt, that they might keep their customs, which they never kept in their own land. And they entered into the Euphrates by the narrow passages of the river.
Right. So the Euphrates River, which leads out into the ocean, and they took this journey. Go ahead.
For the Most High then showed signs for them, and held still the flood till they were passed over. For through that country there was a great way to go, namely of a year and a half.
All right, so it took them a year and a half by the flood, which is the ocean, to come over to this side of the earth. All right, go ahead.
And the same region is called Arsareth.
Right, and I understand the brother knows about Arsareth because there's a question that he had
here.
Right to there as well. Right, and the same region is called Arsareth. Right, so now. Get me Luke 21 where he says flee to the mountains. All right. So now to your other question about did the northern tribes know where the southern tribes migrated to? At this point in what we read in Ezra's, yes, they knew, because this is where you read about in Nehemiah and Ezra and everything else where they went back to rebuild the temple walls. So they knew that the bulk of them went back to Israel to try to go ahead and build up. After that, outside of the remnant, it's two different histories being built at that point.
At the same time, simultaneously.
At the same time.
Right. Right.
So there was no more, let me know what's going on here. I will say this, and we don't know this. This is just me speaking speculatively. It is possible that others did migrate after that because they knew the route they were going to take. And some people, but again, you're talking about small numbers
that may have
said, hey, let me go here because I know that. You know, the bulk of these people went there.
At the end of the day, what matters is that everything was happening simultaneously.
Right, yeah. You got to understand this history was happening at the same time in one hemisphere and in the other. And I mentioned the Olmecs loosely. If you look them up, you'll see the Olmec statues in South America, all right, with those very what you would call African-American
Negroid features. Sure.
And this is how you know that there was, I mean, first of all Israel looked that way,
right?
That's one piece of it, all right? And then the other piece is, again, there's nothing definitive that says this many went here, this many went there, but understanding, just like you referenced, which was very good, John 4, we know that some stayed back, that would lead you to believe that some also went too, all right? So go ahead and read this in Luke so that we understand why we're able to trace this back and say, hey, the African slave trade was Israel, all right? Go ahead.
And just real quick, just on that same, just to add, because remember, we were all in the Assyrian captivity.
Yes, sir.
Real quick, let me do the sign off on the Blog Talk side, and we'll continue this question on the Facebook Live before we wrap up. So that's the show as far as the Blog Talk side is concerned. We're going to stay online on Facebook just to wrap up this question. And Lord's will, you tune in next week. We simulcast on Blog Talk and on Facebook as we do this. All right. So those listening on the radio side, we say shalom.
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 All right. Everybody on.